Good morning, Church. Welcome to worship at University Mennonite Church on this beautiful summer day, where we're going to be having the last in the series of Reclamation and Restoration, and today it will be about evangelism. For the call to worship today, please turn to your bulletins and we will read responsively. Praise the Lord, all you nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to
the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Tell his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Each week we light the peace lamp to remind us to pray for peace and to act for peace. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the peace that only you can bring. Help us to spread the knowledge of your peace that we find from our faith and trust in you and by following the teachings of Jesus. Amen. We will now have the gathering hymns.
Good morning. Please rise if you are able and turn to number 120 in the hymnal in the worship book. Number 120.
Thank you.
Praise Him, Praise Him, number 100.
We'd like to take this time to welcome any visitors. There will be a microphone on either side. If you would like to introduce yourself, or if you came with someone, they can introduce you. What visitors do we have today?
Hi, I'm Joyce Hall, and I introduced Lauren and May a couple weeks ago, but Vaughn, her husband, Lauren's husband, Kleimenhage, is back from a work trip in Europe.
Good to have you back with us. And it's good to have all of you here today. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for children's time with Betty.
Good morning. Well, it is a beautiful morning. So, what do you think I have right here? Yeah. Do you think it's soft? Yeah, it's nice and soft, and when you feel it, it's like its texture. It has a texture to it. You want to try it? You want to feel it? See what anyone else thinks about it. Go ahead. May, would you like to touch the blanket? So, I would call this kind of like a security blanket. What do you think? Noah, this is one of his blankets. Noah has always loved blankets like this. They make him feel secure. They make him feel like right in his body. Okay? And, you know, I was kind of like that when I was a kid, but I didn't have a blanket. You know, I'm not even sure how many of these kinds of blankets were around then or whatever, but I didn't have a blanket. What did I have? I had a thumb. Did anyone here? Did any of you guys ever suck your thumb? I think I was probably in second grade before I stopped, because I guess I needed a lot of security. Huh? Yeah, I did. And you know what? I still need a lot of security. I really do. And that's not a bad thing. And my security is that I know I am loved. Are you loved? Are you loved? Ben? Yeah. May, are you loved? Uh-huh. And we feel this love because our parents, from the very beginning when we're born, they love us. And then you have all the other family members who love you. You come in here. Do you feel loved when you come into the church? Yeah. You feel loved when you're here? Because everyone here is showing you a lot of love. Why are we able to show all that love? Is it just because you're cute? Yeah. Well, but no. We all feel love because we feel loved by Ben. Who do we feel loved by? We feel loved by Jesus. And so Jesus is kind of like our security blanket, but it's like more, because you can lose a security blanket, right? You're not going to lose Jesus' love. You can be like, you can disobey your parents and they can get like a little bit mad at you, but they're not going to stop loving you. And so you can disobey things, you can disobey Jesus, but He's still going to love you. You're still going to have God's love. And that's a really important thing. So, one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven was, go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them what I've taught you. I am always with you. So we're being asked to be these disciples, right? This is a message to us. So how do you think we're going to do that? How can we do that? Well, I think your parents have probably shown you how to do that. And I hope that watching some of the things that the people in this church do, the good things that they do, taking care of homeless people and making sure that people are, you know, get food, it doesn't mean that you go and you say to people, well, I think you should believe in Jesus. No, you can go and you just be nice. You just treat them like friends. You treat them like human beings. Okay? So that kid at school, does anyone know anyone at school who's like, I don't know, kind of like mean to everybody? Is there anyone who you know who's mean to everybody? And you just kind of like, you kind of witness to him by being nice to him or her. Right? You know, you smile at people. That can be good. Just in terms of being kind and accepting of other people, then that is a great way to follow what Jesus said. Go and make disciples. Just by being kind yourself. Do you think you can do that? All right. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for helping us to follow Jesus and to love each other. Amen.
We will now collect the offering. Let us pray. Gracious and generous God, we thank you for the abundance that you provide. We thank you for these gifts that have been given today, and we ask that you help us use them wisely in the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn in your bulletins to the prayer of confession that we will read in unison. And after the prayer, there will be a short time of silence where you can make your own prayer, and then I will say the assurance of pardon. Merciful Lord, we confess that we are often distracted and focused on ourselves and our day-to-day lives in a way that is not centered on loving you and loving our neighbors. We are not reaching out to others to share your love and your message of salvation with our words and our deeds. Forgive us and help us to be better follow you in a way that inspires others to become your disciples. hear these words of assurance. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The scripture reading today is at the very end of the book of Matthew, the last two verses. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Good morning, friends. Let's begin with a full breath, welcoming the Spirit of Christ into us. Sensing God's presence. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's hard to believe that it's the end of July already. Here we are, July 28th. And it is, as Karen said in the beginning, it's the last of our reclamation and restoration series that we've been doing since the beginning of June, where we've looked at several words that are historically important and vital words in our faith, yet for different reasons have been changed in ways that sometimes make them inaccessible at times, and at times downright hard to live with for some of us. The first Sunday when we explored the word Christian, I used the metaphor of pulling out invasive plants in a native ecosystem. Invasives are sometimes brought in by accident, sometimes with good intentions gone awry, like the crown vetch that we see growing all over the place that was brought in for erosion control, but now it's in places where it is wanted and not wanted. And we talked about that same concept that ideas can be like that too, and that sometimes we need to work at reclaiming and restoring the original landscape of a word. So we began with Christian, and today we end this series with evangelism. Another word which I admit does not easily resonate with me. But this idea of going out and sharing the good news, that's what we're called to do. I want to claim that as something that I do, that we do. So I don't want to ignore that call. So let's look at this word one more, this idea of reclaiming one more time, and reclaiming what it might mean to begin to reclaim evangelism. But I want to start by also looking at this, because that first Sunday, way back in the beginning of June, the kids and others were asked to collect items, plastics in particular, that need to be reclaimed. And I'm wondering, last Sunday, let's see, I'm wondering if Vonda, if Becky, if the kids who worked on this, oh, there's Vonda, and I see Becky, and I know Ben was there, and Anders, and Martin. Can you guys come forward for a second? I want to look at this together. I know, it's not easy. Come on, Becky. I don't know what other adults. Sue was there. Maybe there were other adults, because I wasn't here when you guys did this. But a couple of weeks ago, Vonda had sent out an email, and a bunch of us gathered one evening, and we made these. You guys see this? We took plastic bags, and she had us lay them out super carefully. This is why I could never quilt, because like we had to lay them really nice and neatly. And then we cut these strips. And so these are the plastic grocery bags. Look, if Becky wants to be neat and roll up the mess I'm making, she's not going to let this mess stay here. So these are plastic bags, like you might get at, like we did them by color. Like I think the white ones were Weiss and the brown ones were Wegmans. Like we could figure out where everybody shopped. And so we took these and made these balls, and then Vonda took the, is this one totally?
No. There's a story behind these. So my son is dating Susanna Esther, who is a Spanish citizen. Her grandmother made these from plastic bags in Spain.
Okay, so.
So they are repurposed from in another country.
So bringing things from all nations,
yes.
Like
all
our scriptures.
Yes. But yeah. It's incredible what she's done. Anyway, take a look at it.
Yeah. But these other things are ones that were made out of plastic bags. Yeah. And you guys, last week, I want to hear about this, because I wasn't here. So I learned that Ben made this one. How about you, Anders and Martin? Do you guys see ones you made? That one? And this one? These here?
I made this one and this one. I made another one.
Yeah. Like, I love the way these guys took things that we so often, like, just throw in the garbage without even thinking about it and made something beautiful. I'm guessing you guys had fun, like, that it was a playful activity and a way to change something that we don't even want to think about and make it into something beautiful. So thanks, you guys, for being a part of this. I love it. What's that? I can't believe it either. I love it. Making something new, something useful, something colorful, full of imagination and playfulness. New ways of seeing. That's what I think reclaiming is. And maybe evangelism can be all of those things too. Just maybe. Well, in doing a little research this week, the core values statement on one Christian Missionary Alliance church homepage says, in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the first priority of every minister, congregation, and believer is to work for the evangelization, had to practice that one, for the evangelization of the world. Healthy churches producing healthy disciples devoted to reaching lost people, they say. That is what will hasten the completion of the Great Commission and the return of Jesus Christ. Every minister, every believer, working for the evangelization of all, reaching lost people as a means of hastening the completion of the Great Commission and the return of Jesus. Well, for me, that's not necessarily my understanding of what this passage from Matthew means, this passage that's called the Great Commission, but I think it's a common one. So I'd like to hold that common way that many Americans, many Christian Americans, see what evangelization means. And look at this scripture together. But first of all, this idea of the Great Commission, I want to say that the original Gospels, written in Greek, were not written with chapters, numbers, and verses noted, much less headings like the parable of the 10 talents or the commissioning of the disciples. We gave them these are modern-day inventions to help us navigate our way through scriptures and find certain stories. So the writer of the gospel did not call this passage the Great Commission. I'd like to go back and look together carefully at what Jesus says here. It's interesting. I'm going to read it again. It's so short. Listen for the verbs that come up here. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always to the end of the age. So, five verbs there. We're going to look at the first four. Scholars disagree. I want to name that right from the beginning. But I think it's important. We're going to take one avenue of looking how it was written in its original form. And I am not a grammarian. I want to name that as well. I'm not good at parsing out sentences and knowing various tenses in English, let alone in Greek. But here are a few things I learned this week. The first verb here, go, as it was written originally, is in the passive tense, the passive voice. Literally, it means something like having gone. But you can interpret it in several ways. It could be as you go, or after you go. Or it could be that when you pair it with the next verb, it could be an imperative, go. So we have as you go. The next verb is disciple. And this is a command. This is the action word. They are to disciple. Of the first verbs here, go and disciple, this is the dominant one. So whether it's go, disciple, or as you go about your life, disciple, or when you leave here, disciple, the emphasis is on the action of discipling. Now, discipleship had a rich meaning in Jewish culture. Disciples followed their rabbis around 24/7. There was a lot of formal teaching and study, but mostly it was about learning customs, imitating his actions, absorbing his character, and letting it be formed in their own lives. The disciples were there to learn to be like their rabbi, not just to imitate him, but allow the character of their rabbi to be so formed in them that they will approach life and faith as he does. So that rich history of that word, discipleship, is what's at work behind this passage. And the first hearers of the gospel would have known that. Well, baptizing is another verb in our passage, a symbolic death and resurrection. That all other allegiances, except the allegiance to Christ, go down under the water and don't come back up. They die away. In baptism, our allegiance is to Christ and how Christ lives in us. And the last of these four verbs that I want to look at is teaching. And it's not just teaching information, but teaching them to obey my commands, the stuff that I taught you to do. It's not a teaching just of information, but of a specific obedience. An obedience that's built on relationship and following not only the words, but the character of the teacher. So a kind of transliterated expansion of the version of our reading would be something like, after you leave, disciple, or as you go through life, disciple. Go, as you go through life, disciple. Make full-bodied learners. And do this all around the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to command to obey and observe everything I commanded you. Now, one of the tensions I feel when I read this is that usually instead of go and make disciples, it's kind of translated for us, go and make converts. And there's a world of difference between making disciples and making converts. Because converts quickly becomes about counting conversions. But that's not what Jesus says here, and it's not what he did in his life. It's not go make converts, but go disciple. As you go about your life, instill in others the character that I instilled in you. Help people to leave their old allegiances and teach them to obey all of the stuff I taught you, Jesus says, about what it means to truly be human. And he ends with, and I will always be with you in this. So being a disciple is really about having our characters formed in the way of Jesus so pervasively that our lives take on the look of his life. Our lives begin to do, at least in part, what his life did. What Jesus was after was not some set of beliefs and behaviors, but a specifically formed character. So when we think about how to go and make disciples, we need to think about building character. How can we allow our characters to be fully formed in the way of Christ so that we react to this ever-changing world around us as Jesus would have us act? And I think more than anything, it involves a being and relating. Being the hands and feet of Christ. Being salt and light. Being the image bearers. Being faithful followers. These are ideas that we embrace as Mennonites. We are salt of the earth. And this kind of being is largely about presence. I'd say a huge part of discipleship is about presence. For we are the way Christ is now physically present in the world. It's about being with one another. When we think about salt, when we think about light, they're not super active, but you know when they're present and you know when they're not. They transform any environment where they're found, just through their presence. Well, evangelism is about being rooted in the knowledge of Jesus' abiding presence within us. A living, a life transformed by knowledge. I wasn't here, but the Reverend Donna King last night spoke, I think, of glory moments, of seeing God in all of life and sharing that good news with others through loving and caring about them, like Betty talked about. That's what making disciples is all about. Go and make disciples is different than go and make converts. Be salt and light. In his recent book, Second Mountain, author David Brooks writes about the stages of community building. Community building, or village making, as he calls it, starts when we move from telling I stories, stories about our own personal experience, to we stories. He says we need to tell our communal story, the story that links us together. He writes, one of the most important tasks of a community is to create its story. Creating a story, our story, to share with others. Well, that's what the gospel is really about, right? As Christians, this is our story. The gospel story is what compels us to be salt and light in the world. We gather here Sunday after Sunday to look at these stories that we share. And I was going to use but I want to turn it into an and, because I think there's a big and here. And this is where I personally sometimes start to squirm a little bit. Because I think we're good at being salt and light, at rolling up our sleeves and getting busy, starting 10,000 villages, helping out at Park Forest Preschool, out of the cold, the food bank. There are many ways we make a difference in our community, how we stand in partnership with others. And yet I have to ask myself, in my own involvement, in the midst of that work, how good am I and are we at sharing the story that roots us, that compels us to live in this way as disciples of Christ? I own that dis-ease. I prefer phrases like preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary, or actions speak louder than words. They are true, and we are called to share our story with others. Called to share our stories not out of a sense of trying to save sinners, but because it's good news that brings life, abundant life, to those who follow this way of Jesus, those who choose to be his disciples. So this week, I challenged myself. I wanted to have a conversation with someone I didn't know well about their faith and ask questions and listen. And I'll tell you, I was nervous. All week, I've held that challenge before myself. Talking with people I don't know well about their faith sometimes takes a lot of care in getting started. And so doing this with someone where I didn't have any sense of their faith perspective, how to do this? But I realized as the week went on that first there needs to be a relationship. There needs to be that we, as David Brooks said, those stories that link us together in order to share more deeply with one another. And so I've had some beautiful conversations this week here among us, as well as with others. I heard stories of questioning the faith traditions that have been given us and asking hard questions. I've heard from others sensing God's presence in the form of gratitude for life, even in the midst of unknowns. And I heard one story for me that really exemplifies what it means to disciple, to invite others into this amazing story of Christ's love for us and our call to love one another. And it's a story that began with a lot of pain. Kathy Breezy told me this week about how this body of believers discipled her. Discipled her back into a community of faith. And she's given me permission, so thank you, Kathy, to share parts of her journey. Because she's proud of how this community has lived into discipling through relationship. So most of you might know this story better than I. But as I said, her story begins out of a place of pain when her marriage unexpectedly and abruptly came to a crashing end. She was disoriented, devastated, and having trouble finding her way. She talked of the incredible web of support that she had around her from friends and coworkers, those who would sit with her in the middle of the night, who picked her up from the airport and made sure her house was safe. She had community to help and support her. And in the midst of that, one person, a coworker who cared, invited her over to supper one night. Kathy accepted, finding solace in spending time and processing her pain with Joel and Krista over the supper table. And Joel did one more thing that I didn't hear others in her community doing. He invited her to church. Their evening together didn't end with a simple, "I'll be thinking of you," or "call me if you need me." He invited her to church. And in good Joel form, I think it went something like this, "and we'll meet you by the back door." Like, so there's no out there, right? He created this level of safety, making it hard to refuse. And I'm guessing that invitation wasn't about a feeling a need to convert, but built on a sense of relationship and wanting to share this here that's life-giving. And Kathy came, and here she is. She found the Spirit of God at work among us, at work in her healing through the many ways this body then invited her to be an usher, to make coffee, to get involved, to simply listen to one another's stories. So this isn't just about Kathy. This is about all of us and how we work at this discipleship together. For this invitation to become a disciple happens through relationships and within a body. It wasn't just one invitation to accept Christ, but a welcoming into fellowship over and over through small connections that are kind of like the sprinkling of salt on an ear of sweet corn You know how it helps bring out the flavor? That's what one little connection and relationship after another does. A piece of creating disciples is inviting one another to join us on our journey. And that can look like so many different things. Sprinkling the salt of good news found in relationships. No, this isn't about making converts. It's about making disciples. Encouraging, inviting one another to be a part of the family of God. Whether it's an invitation to church, to take a walk, to have a cup of coffee, and speaking deeply about one's life, the joys and sorrows, and how the faith journey guides us. So go. Go about your life. And as you do so, make disciples. Make full-bodied learners who see God at work in your life. And invite them to join you on this amazing journey. And as you do this, hold fast to Jesus' final words here in the gospel. Remember, remember, I am with you to the end of the age. For we're never alone in this work. It's not us, it's the Spirit of Christ working in us and through us. Remember, I am with you always. May it be so. Amen.
Please turn to number 395 in the hymnal and worship book, and you can remain seated. I have some helpers here that are going to help us sing the verses. And we'll have everybody come in on the refrain.
the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send?
That is prayer.
Are there any announcements that you want to share today?
Good morning. I'm Terry Yoder. Jim Prowlant and I this week were at the Interfaith Human Services board meeting, and I have a couple things that I want to bring you up to speed on with Interfaith Human Services. The first thing was kind of exciting, and that is that Karen Magnuson and the executive committee applied for some free marketing help, and many agencies apply for that every year, and this year Interfaith was awarded with it, and we got to see the new branding, and it was very exciting. It's neat, updated for a while. It's very colorful. It's going to be unveiled in September, and so there's a lot of energy going on there. And I think Jim would agree that Karen Magnuson has been such a great president of the board. And as well, Wendy Vinhage has been our executive director, and at the same meeting, we said farewell to Wendy. So Interfaith Human Services is now in a search for a new executive director. So I'm making that announcement in case you or someone you might know would be interested in that position. And so it's going to be started now, and it's going to be going on for hopefully not too long.
Jim Prowlant, as Terry mentioned, we're the UMC's representatives to Interfaith. And also to last meeting, there was some informative and moving presentations on the current immigration crisis in our country. So in the context of asking for forgiveness rather than permission, I put some things downstairs in our meeting room that might be of interest to you to take a look at. There's some individual papers that unfortunately didn't make copies, so perhaps we could make a copy, or I'll collect them this week and make copies for the future. And hopefully we can let that information down there in some form for a couple of weeks. It was really very striking, very moving. Thank you.
Vonda Yoder, yesterday I sent a email with the UMC sharing, and I don't know if everybody got that or not, but we're inviting anybody who wants to come and spend the afternoon, evening in enjoying our pool, our gardens, our view, and fellowship at our house at 4 o'clock, we're saying. And if you want to bring a simple dish to share, we're going to roast hot dogs and have a fire going.
My name is Rodney Brubaker. I'm going to give you a quick update on me with Shavers Creek Environmental Center, which you know I've been there a very long time. I think next month will be my 27th year. volunteering there. So now I'm kind of, Saturdays I'm doing a lot of yard work, like weeding and mowing and all that kind of fun stuff on the Saturday. Then I usually go a weekday once a week to the center and work with chicken and bluebird boxes and bird nests since May, and doing hummingbird feeders. And I'll be helping out the center next month a lot, helping set up some of our buildings for meetings and programs out there. If you haven't been out to Chivas Creek since everything's been redone, I encourage you to go out. They're still doing Meet the Creek, which I'm not doing anymore, but they're still, at least they're doing that again from 2 to 3:30 on the weekends. So I'm still out there in some kind of capacity. I really enjoy being out there, so that's the update on that.
I have two announcements. One, you'll find a purple paper in your mailbox this morning if you have a mailbox. If you don't, we have extras, and if you'd like a mailbox, you can talk with one of us. But it's called this 12 Scriptures Project. I also sent a link via midweek sharing that you can do this all electronically if you want. But we are asking that folks come together and think, what are the 12 scriptures, up to 12, if you only list a few, that's fine, but the 12 scriptures that have influenced and shaped you on your journey? We would like to come up with kind of a canon within the biblical canon of what helps shape and guide us. So please look at this and get it back to me at the end of August. And second announcement is that next weekend I will be at Laurelville at the Allegheny Mennonite summer gathering with several other delegates, so I will not be here. I will be preaching on Saturday night out there. So we'll have Mark Bartsch as a guest speaker next weekend. And then I will be going, I'll be back Monday and then going on vacation. So I will be in and out the next few weeks. And I'll also send that midweek sharing.
Are there any birthdays this week?
Anniversary.
What's that?
Wedding anniversary.
Oh, you have a wedding anniversary, you and Leah?
Yeah. Six.
6 years?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do we sing to that? To you, happy anniversary. To you, happy anniversary, Fidel and Leah. Happy anniversary to you. Okay. All right. So please stand for the benediction. If you are able, there is a change in the final hymn. It's going to be number 226 in the blue hymnal. You are salt for the earth. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and one another. Amen.
226, and we will all sing the leader part.